Welcome to Lipstick Fitties, a beauty podcast. I'm your host, Atlanta makeup artist and content creator, Rachel Rose Mazza. I created this podcast to have unfiltered conversations about all things beauty. We're chilling with my friends and colleagues from all over the world in all different walks of life. This goes way beyond the glossy facade of social media. Sometimes we don't get to know the personalities behind the people who create with their heart and soul. I'm talking to everyone from pro makeup artists to beauty enthusiasts, from influencers to entrepreneurs, and everyone in between. Lipstick Fitties is a community we're building that is truly interactive with you listeners. So if you're someone who wants to learn some shit, get inspired, and have a good ass time, this podcast is for you. Who are the faces behind the faces? Keep listening to find out. Hello, biddies. Welcome back to the Lipstick Biddies podcast. It is your host, Rachel here, the HBIC, aka the head biddy in charge. So glad to have you here with me. Welcome to all of my new friends. Welcome back to all of my listeners that are here every week with me. I fucking love you guys. So excited to have you here. So before we get into today's episode, just want to remind you really quickly that my Would You Rather card decks are on flash sale until today at midnight. If you're listening to this on Wednesday, the day that the episode airs, our flash sale, which is for $10 off the Would You Rather card decks that I made custom, and they are limited edition, and we're just celebrating the launch of season 2's premiere by this little flash sale just for you biddies. So there's no chode at checkout. No code needed at checkout. So just go on the website, lipstickbiddies.com, and you add it to your bag. Maybe you see some added stuff there. We have shirts, we have hoodies, we have all that good stuff, which is actually, we're going to be phasing out some stuff and bringing in new stuff for spring collection, which is really exciting. But yeah, no code needed at checkout. That $10 off will come right off for you. You don't need to do anything extra. Just support your girl. Another great way to support me, of course, is to rate, review, and subscribe. It is absolutely free. And please subscribe to my new YouTube channel, guys. You know, your girl's trying to make some coin. We're trying to monetize all these platforms, and I need 1,000 subscribers on my YouTube channel to monetize. So if even a third of you guys that listen and follow me on Instagram, subscribe, I'll be able to monetize the YouTube. So please, please, please subscribe. If you don't have a YouTube account, log in on your Google account and just subscribe. Like, make a YouTube account for me, please, and subscribe. Or you could just rate, review, and subscribe on whichever listening platform you're looking at. As a reminder, if you do write a review, send me a screen grab and I will mail you something special. So just DM that to me at lipstickbiddy. Also, our Patreon events are going to be coming up in a couple weeks. If you'd like to learn more about the Patreon, it's a great way to support me for less than the price of a lipstick. Tiers start at $5 a month, including bonus episodes. You get monthly meetups. The monthly meetup for the month of April is actually going to be a public one. We do quarterly public meetups. So if you are not in the Patreon and you want to check out what it is, this is going to be the month that you are going to be able to join in for the meetup. So make sure to get on my email subscription list at the website. It's also linked in the show notes. Like, everything is always linked in the show notes. So just check that out. I think that's pretty much it for housekeeping. Just as a reminder, I'm going to be at the makeup show in New York City in May, which is in a couple weeks. So just wanted to put that out there that my flights are booked and I cannot wait to see you all. It's going to be really fun. So cannot wait to see you all in New York. Let's get into the episode and let's get into who my guest is today. So today is all about cruelty-free beauty, cruelty-free makeup, and my guest is none other than Jen Wood. You can find her on her main platform, which is, TikTok, is at cruelty-free makeup, and then Instagram at cruelty-free makeup with 2 A's. Follow her on both, but she is blown up on TikTok, and that is actually how we became friends. So we kind of talk about that. We kind of talk about how we met. We talk about her platform where she educates everybody on how to be cruelty-free, how to find cruelty-free dupes, what to look for when you're looking for cruelty-free brands, kind of like the different verifications that brands go through. And surprise, guys, cruelty-free is actually not a regulated term. So she talks about how you need to cross-check with additional resources. Do not just go off the FAQ on a brand's website that says they may be cruelty-free, because a lot of them do say that, but they actually aren't, whether they're testing, sorry, their suppliers are maybe testing ingredients or they're selling in China, which requires some animal testing as well. I myself am now officially a cruelty-free makeup artist, so you will only see me be tagging cruelty-free brands, working with cruelty-free brands publicly as I transition my kit. And for new bookings, my working makeup kit is going to be cruelty-free from this point forward. I think it's a great thing to consider as a working makeup artist because there really isn't a reason for animals to still be tested on at this point. It doesn't have anything to do with the quality of the product. It's just all this like bullshit that goes on. And, you know, it's really important to put your money where you want to see change. So if you are really passionate about this topic, or if you've just always wanted to learn more and never knew where to start, Jen really, really breaks it down really easily. Also, please put me on your favorite list on Instagram and subscribe for notifications on my Instagram because Jen and I are going to be going live at some time in the next week. So you don't want to miss out on that, especially if you have follow-up questions. And she is just amazing. She's so, so sweet. She is really passionate about what she does. She also does makeup looks. And we talk about how, you know, she got into TikTok because guess what? She's Gen X. So all of you that are giving excuses as to why you can't do TikTok because you're too old. Take it from someone who's Gen X. You can make it happen. And she loves it. And she talks about how she kind of like bridged that from her Instagram to TikTok, where she kind of found her space. There are so many wonderful cruelty-free brands and wonderful cruelty-free dupes that I'm just really excited to have that be more accessible in the makeup community, both for working professional makeup artists and for consumers. But she is a makeup enthusiast and she knows what she's talking about. She absolutely knows what she's talking about. I've learned so much from her. And yeah, I know you guys are going to love this episode, and it inspires some of you to go cruelty-free with your personal collection or your kit. Pretty much that's it. And I will talk to you all next week. Hello, biddies. Welcome back to the Lipstick Biddies podcast. It is your host, Rachel, here. I'm so, so, so excited for today's interview, biddies. You guys are going to be so excited because it's my very first like TikTok organic friend that I have here today. And I'm so excited that she agreed to be here and share her expertise. Welcome to Jen Wood, aka Cruelty Free Makeup. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing so good. Thank you so much for having me. My name is Jen and I run Cruelty Free Makeup on TikTok and Instagram. And I am a beauty content creator and my focus is on makeup that is not tested on animals and skincare. And I also love to do a lot of dupes.
Yes. You do it all, Jen. You do swatches, you do dupes, you do tutorials, you do product reviews, you do like sassy, like no bullshit reviews. I fucking love those. So that's, I feel like, why I connected with you, because not only are you like spreading a really good message here about cruelty-free makeup and cruelty-free beauty, but you do it in a way that's like not like too preachy. It just like cuts straight to the point. So I like definitely want to like just kind of get right into it, because also biddies, if you're new here, welcome back. My name is Rachel. I'm your host. Again, my pronouns are she, her, and we are going to get into this interview. A lot of you have asked about cruelty-free makeup, cruelty-free beauty, both as beauty enthusiasts and as pro makeup artists. So this is like a topic that I feel like has been a long time coming, and your story is so unique. So I'm so happy that you're the one that's going to be kind of like along this journey with me. So can you tell the listeners a little bit about kind of how your journey started into researching about cruelty-free, switching your collection and your makeup and your skincare routine over to cruelty-free, and kind of like why that came about?
Yeah, of course. So I started posting beauty videos on Instagram back in 2018, if you want to call what I was doing in 2018, posting beauty videos. I don't know if that's necessarily what you would call it, but I was trying. And I started to make friends as I got started with some other bloggers, you know, kind of learning what they were doing and engaging with their posts. And a few of the girls that I became friends with right away, and I'm not even sure why this happened. I think it was just fate, to be honest, were cruelty-free. And I had always kind of known a little bit about cruelty-free. I remember back in the 90s when, you know, Urban Decay first came out, reading some articles like in Sassy Magazine about cruelty-free.
Sassy Magazine.
Sassy Magazine, yeah. But it had kind of gone to the back of my head. And with, you know, I was in a career in finance for a very long time. And you kind of just buy the high-end crap when you're doing that. You know? Mm-hmm. So as I started to get to know these girls and I was reading their posts and learning about what was actually happening, you know, it's not just taking blush and putting it on a rabbit's face. The more I learned, the more I just couldn't continue purchasing the way I was. It slowly just took hold of me. And I started asking questions. And I actually remember being in the DMs with my one friend and asking her questions. And I remember thinking to myself, if you ask these questions, you're never going to go back. Because mm-hmm. once you know these answers, I mean, I grew up, my mother was an animal lover. I mean, mm-hmm. so if I know that an animal is being hurt, I can't use an eyeshadow.
Right. You know. And it's crazy. It always is like crazy to me that like here we are in like 2022 that not all makeup brands are cruelty free at this point. And looking at like, you know, countries like Europe, they have so much like higher credentials for like even just the FDA and like what ingredients are in our cosmetics that even our food, we could go down like a whole like, yeah. no pun intended, rabbit hole. But yeah. like, you know, just what's in our food, I feel like the US just doesn't like give a shit sometimes about like, yeah. what is being put out to consumers. So I know you had done like a TikTok video about like a health scare that you had. Can you talk a little bit about that? And did that have an impact on like you kind of like moving over to cruelty free?
Yeah, I would love to. So, you know, initially how I got into posting beauty content was I worked in finance for 15 years. That's what mm-hmm. I did. I worked for stockbrokers. I did trades. I read quotes. And I got sick in 2012. I started with GI issues, back pain, stuff like that. So I haven't worked since 2012. I spent years just kind of lying in bed and feeling sorry for myself, not really contributing to anything. And I really lost my sense of identity and my sense of purpose. So in 2017, my husband and I moved. We bought a house. We live in a completely different environment than we had before. We went from a city to mm-hmm. the suburbs. And I ended up contracting this infectious disease called C. difficile. And it is in your gut. And this began a very long, year and a half journey for me. Mm-hmm. Essentially, this is a bacteria that can live in your gut. Mm-hmm. And you're given antibiotics for it. However, it can be caused by antibiotics. So
crazy.
It's a very crazy thing. For me, the antibiotics that they gave me didn't kill it because this particular disease can learn the antibiotics that you're given and basically morph inside of you to mm-hmm. hide from them. So I did 4 to 5 different rounds of antibiotics, and each round is, you know, 2 to 3 months.
Wow. That's a lot.
Yeah. Each time I was in the hospital, had a couple of different procedures. And I think what happened to me over a period of time was, you know, sometimes you just have to get so low. You know, I think I was riding in a level of kind of like, I'm not doing anything with my life and I'm depressed, but it's like, whatever. That infectious disease took me to such a low point that it became like do or die.
Yeah.
And it gave me a renewed sense of, I'm only in my 40s. I will do something with my life. And I don't really care what the universe gives me. Like, bring it on. Bring it the fuck on. Because you know what? I always wanted to be a makeup artist. I always wanted to do something with beauty. You know what? I'm doing it now. And I just started pulling out my phone. I remember one time I did an unboxing video in the hospital.
Oh, wow.
So I just couldn't be stopped. Something just lighted up inside of me. And I didn't have any idea that I was going to continue doing this for years or, mm-hmm. and no, I was not thinking about anything. I was just thinking
about, evolved.
Yeah. I was just thinking about, I don't want to think about how sick I feel. I don't want to think about how much pain I'm in. I don't want to think about what tomorrow is going to bring. Let me just sit at my vanity and do makeup. And yeah.
I feel like so many of our guests have had that kind of story where they were presented with some sort of struggle, personal struggle, and makeup is kind of like their escape from it yeah. and their therapy and something that makes them truly happy. And like, it's like very therapeutic for them. Would you say that's kind of how it was for you?
Oh, absolutely. Because I feel like makeup is the one thing that, you know, can always make you feel beautiful. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how crappy you feel. It doesn't matter what type of skin you have. It doesn't matter what you look like. You can use makeup to make yourself feel better. And it's not about you know, making yourself look like a completely different person. It's just amazing. About making yourself feel better, you know.
It's so funny too, because you were saying that you would want to be a makeup artist, because I think that was I DM'd you and I was like, are you an actual makeup artist? Because nowadays, okay, biddies, like I always talk about TikTok, like if you're not on TikTok, get on TikTok, start like immersing yourself in this. Sometimes it's hard to tell who's like a makeup artist and who's not, because you can tell when people aren't, like definitely aren't sometimes, or if they're influencers, but people like you, the way that you speak, very like, you're like very informative and you're very like intentional with the way that you do your makeup, that I was like, oh, she must have some. And you're like, no, but thank you. And I was like, oh, you're such so a
compliment.
Sweet.
I mean, you have no idea. That's like the biggest compliment you can possibly give me. I think that honestly, you know, so when I was in high school, I wanted to be an artist. I wanted to go to art school. I took every art class they had and extracurricular. Mm-hmm. And I learned shading and light and dark. I learned the color wheel. You know, mm-hmm. I know color. I know different types of painting and drawing. And I really think that has carried over for me, because, you know, painting the face, it's color, it's light, it's shadow.
Yes.
And if you can understand your own face, I think this is where a lot of people go wrong when it comes to using social media trends and social media tips mm-hmm. and tricks, is it's more important for you to learn the shape of your own face.
Yes.
Than it is to follow some of these tricks. I mean, yes, some of them are great, but you need to modify them to how your own face shape is.
And that's why I love your page, because you don't do every single thing. Like, you'll do some things that like make sense, but like, you, I don't see you like face mapping the house down and like all that crazy
shit.
Hell
no. That's never gonna be on my page.
And then especially when you pick up, like, for example, like a viral product, I won't like name names, but like you've tried viral products out and you're like, no, this looks like shit on me. This looks like texture. Yeah. This foundation looks like shit.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. There's nothing in it to me to lie, because the reality is, what I've seen over my 2 years being on TikTok is I can get just as many views telling an honest opinion that's negative as I can giving an honest opinion as positive. So why am I going to lie?
Right.
It makes no sense.
People nowadays,
get on a PR list?
Right.
No.
Yeah. Which is just like, honestly, guys, like, I feel like people often are in my DMs, and I know a lot of you have messaged me about like, how do I get on PR list? And honestly, like, the way that I've even gotten like free product, it's been very organic. I haven't intentionally, and you know, you could go back, biddies, and listen to like episodes with SJ, Always Playing With Makeup. I've had episodes about like specifically about content creating and then how to pitch yourself, which of course you could do a media kit and you can like reach out to brands, of course. But I feel like the best relationships and when you're just starting are the ones that happen organically, because they're people that are actually aligned with you. And then you kind of learn the ropes. Like, I feel like I've learned the ropes through my partnerships with certain brands that now I'm very comfortable and confident in how I interact with brands that maybe I want to pitch myself to. And I think that like, it's just important to not lose sight of yourself, lose sight of your morals and lose sight of your values. Like, you know, your whole platform, your username is cruelty-free makeup. So like, you can't like, you can't go back.
No. No, and I wouldn't have it any other way. I really wouldn't. I mean, the reality is that I think most people lose sight of the long game. And it's not a game, but you know, you have to look at, do you want a career or do you want to be a flash in the pan, right? I would prefer to have a solid reputation and, you know, have something behind that rather than just, oh my God, I got a million views today. Mm-hmm. Reality is, if you are continuing to post over time, you will grow and you will get PR. It is only a matter of time.
Right.
So the anxiety and the panic over, I need to grow, I need to get PR, I need.
It's thirsty. It's like even that energy putting out like, you know, need, where you want to be like attract, like
yes.
Put out like the kind of content that you want to be doing.
Yes.
And the brands that resonate with that, the brands that want that kind of content will find you. And then it's like it's a beneficial thing for everybody. So I want to go back, because you were saying that, so you did your like whole career, like your, like when you first started posting content, was that in 2012, you said?
2018.
So this mm-hmm. has been about like, biddies, like it's really important to remember, like people see like a snapshot. You mm-hmm. look at someone's page, right? Because you have like about like what, like 35,000 followers on TikTok? 36
on TikTok, yeah.
Yes, awesome. Like, and then you have like almost 10,000 on Instagram, right? Like
yes.
You're, yeah. So you're growing, you know, on Instagram too. It's easy for someone to find you, like come across you and be like, oh my gosh, she just blew up overnight. Whereas like you were saying, you've been doing this for 4 years. You remember like the first of all, okay, why did you even get on TikTok to begin with? Because I know it's like a generational thing and it's like very Gen Z. And I feel like people are so resistant, like millennials are so resistant to get on it, or the, you know, anybody creating content in general, I feel like that gets to like above 30 feels like they can't be creating content. And like, what made you even like decide to go TikTok, I guess?
Well, first of all, I'm going to be 45 in less than 2 weeks.
You look so young too. Like,
thank you. I appreciate like, that. It's genetics. It's just yeah. all genetics. So that is such a lie that you have to be, you know, under a certain age to be on TikTok. I have to give credit to my friend on Instagram, Glam Mommy Life, my friend okay. Christy. In 2020, when the pandemic hit, it became very difficult to stay on Instagram because no one wanted to continue posting beauty content as normal. It felt very wrong. And back at that time, at the very beginning of the pandemic, I don't know if you were on Instagram or you watched beauty creators back yeah. then on Instagram. But what we tended to do was we would post every day. Normally it was just photos. And then we would all be on our stories, like long, long stories,
yes.
applying makeup, doing each other's challenges. Everybody would have a different challenge yes. every day of the week. And we would all
it's
do
still
a challenge.
Going on.
It's still going on. Yeah. I don't do a lot of that now just because I don't have the time to take part. But that's what I was doing on a regular basis back then, every day on my stories, applying makeup. Doing Jen's challenge this day, her challenge that day. And it was fun. But what happened was the pandemic hit and it was like it all just came to an abrupt halt. And if you continued it, you kind of got this shame from certain people. They weren't outright calling out people, but I would see people's stories like, I can't believe people are still posting makeup tutorials and we're going through this, blah, 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 blah. So it became very hard just to be on Instagram in general. Because it's like, well, you don't want to see what I have to say. All I'm hearing on the news, TV, Instagram, everywhere is this. I don't want to hear it.
Right.
So my friend Christy started posting on TikTok and I would see her sharing her TikToks or her Instagram stories. And I was like, this looks fun.
Yeah.
I am going there. So the first, I want to say 5 months, my TikTok was a disaster. Oh my God. You can still see a couple of the few originals, but I used every effect they had available, every like transition they had available, like, you know, the scattered stars and everything. I would have myself like zooming in and I mean, it was a mess. It was a straight mess. And I stayed at like 300 followers for like 6, 7, 8, 9 months. I mean, a long time. I committed. I got on there. I said to myself, I'm going to post every day for 6 weeks. And if I don't grow, like I thought I was going to like, you know, 1 million followers in 6 weeks, posting like these transitions. If I don't grow in 6 weeks, then that's enough. But what that did was it gave me a goal and it got me addicted and in love with the platform.
Mm-hmm.
So when I finally did figure out, you know, how to effectively create videos, how to use the app, how to edit, my own style and it hit, it was just like waiting. So yeah, it took 9 months, but as soon as that one video hit, it was like boom, 10K.
Y'all, if you have time to cook a baby, you can be posting for 9 months on TikTok right. waiting to go viral.
That's right.
Do you remember the very first like video, maybe not that went viral or like the first video that like you feel like kind of like started getting you like a lot of followers? If that happened for you or if it was like more of a slow thing?
Yeah, no, there was one video. It was my Glossier video. It was my first dupe, not my first dupe, but the first one that hit. And I called it Why You Don't Need Glossier. And I did the dupe of the Glossier, one of the Glossier blushes against, I think it was the Milani.
I love Milani.
Liquid blush. Yeah. And it was like, right away. I mean, within like 4 days, it was like 500,000 views. It was crazy.
That's crazy.
I lost my mind. It was so cool.
That's amazing though. It's like, so what made you decide to do like dupe videos? Is it like because the dupes are like mostly like cruelty-free versus non-cruelty-free?
Well, yeah. You know, I was actually doing dupes on Instagram before I came to TikTok. I never posted them. I would do them on my stories all the time. And I just loved finding them because I'm always looking. I feel like I'm obsessed with color and texture. Mm-hmm. And I feel like something, I'm not saying a lot of people don't do this, but I feel like something I do is I look beyond the actual color I'm seeing into the undertones of everything. Blush, mm-hmm. bronzer, lipsticks, lip liners. Okay, that looks pink, but is there a little bit of brown in it? Is there a little bit of red in it? And that's what helps me find these dupes. And I think what happened was between doing them, you know, on Instagram, which I never considered posting about them. And then I came to TikTok and what happened was I would see the fake dupes.
Oh,
and
yes.
It would make me so mad that I was like, you know what? I'm going to have to dupe because these people like need me.
Yes. It's funny though, because now I'm like, oh yeah, like that. I feel like that was probably, it had to have been a video that was a dupe that you were like, is this a dupe for this? And you're like, no, it's not. And like everybody's saying it's a dupe. And you're like literally swatching and be like, no, it's not.
It's literally not.
But that's like one of the reasons why people gravitate towards you because they know that you're being honest. You're not just doing that and then like getting paid by that brand to say that it's a dupe, right?
Right.
So. Right. Let's go back because I want to talk definitely, obviously, about cruelty-free beauty. I want to talk because a lot of makeup artists, and I'm sure a lot of, you know, the everyday woman makeup enthusiasts maybe want to go cruelty-free, but like don't even know where to start. And it seems like a daunting task. I'll speak from experience because it is a daunting task because I'm currently in transition to be a cruelty-free makeup artist. I just at a certain point realized, I was like, first of all, I'm a pescatarian because of animal rights. Why am I using makeup that's not cruelty-free? It's like, you know what I mean? Like, and to change your diet is like even more like life-altering than like just, you know, filtering out products. So where do you even start? And like, where do you like find the resources to know like what's cruelty free? Because I like talking to people that don't know anything about being cruelty free.
Yeah, I can say, first of all, I hear you and I know that it's hard. And even more so, I know how intimidating it is. So I just want to talk to the audience and let you know, I hear you. I know it's intimidating and I want to take the pressure off because what the cruelty free community wants is for people to go cruelty free, right? We don't want there to be these blocks in your way of feeling like, I'm not going to be able to post anything. I'm not going to be able to talk about makeup. What am I going to do? Am I going to make a mistake? We're not judging. It mm-hmm. seems like, I think especially on my page, it can seem like I'm judging when I'm trying to educate, but I'm never judging. I'm really mm-hmm. never judging. The only people I really judge are the other cruelty free bloggers if they're saying something that's cruelty free. That's not. Because that's miseducating the audience. The way that I went cruelty-free and the way that, because this is how it was taught to me, and I really think this is what made me able to stay cruelty-free in the long run, is to just go one damn product at a time. So for example, let's say your setting spray is starting to get low. Then you want to start thinking, okay, I'm going to start with my setting spray because it's going to be gone soon. And so I'm only going to think about researching a cruelty-free setting spray. I'm not going to think about anything else. And even though I'm not going to lie to you, it is not easy to continue using your stuff that's been tested on animals when you're starting to learn about cruelty-free. The reality is once you've paid that money for that product, it's already been purchased. It's already in your house. So whether you use it or throw it away, does not make a difference. What does make a difference is to throw away a good amount of product is just wasteful. And that's not something, at least me personally, and I know the majority of my friends in the cruelty-free community desire sustainability as well as not testing. Yes. If those animals have already suffered for that product you bought, you might as well use it and not feel guilty because know that you are working towards making an incredible change that most people don't want to do and don't care about.
Biddies, you've heard me so many times raving about how incredible my Patreon community is. And I want to tell you guys about it because it is the best way to support your girl, the HBIC, as we build this Lipstick Biddies community up worldwide. You all want to support me. I appreciate that. It is so much work to run this podcast. It is a one-woman show. We are just starting to up-level with new things like editors and all these crazy things that I'm finally getting to pay for because of the support of my Patreon. And I cannot thank you enough. So the Patreon is amazing because you get to support me with a small monthly donation starting at $5 a month. Biddies, that is less than the price of a lipstick. And you get something in return as a thank you from me to you. You get monthly bonus episodes. You get a merch pack. You get a podcast shout out. You get monthly meetups. You get makeup classes. It is incredible. There are different tiers. Pick whichever one's right for you. It is the best way to support me and also connect with biddies around the world, both pro makeup artists and beauty enthusiasts, and also have a little bit more of an intimate experience with your girl. I love my patrons. If it weren't for them, I wouldn't be here talking to you right now. It truly is the best way to help grow this community, and I appreciate all of you so much. Check the link in the show notes or just go to patreon.com/lipstickbiddies. Thanks, biddies, and see you in the Patreon.
And a lot of the ways that like makeup artists, like we don't always go through product right away. You know, sometimes things will sit and then they'll expire. And then I love that idea of each time you're ready to re-up on something. Another thing is because I want to more quickly move my kit over to being cruelty-free, I'll just move it into my personal makeup collection. Because like I want to be able to put on my makeup bio, cruelty-free makeup artist, because clients do look for that. There are some struggles, I will say. There are some struggles. Like there's some products that like you truly cannot find like a cruelty-free substitute, but you're like on the hunt for it. And I think that if your entire kit is cruelty-free, except for like right now, I'm trying to find a dupe for the Got to Be Glued gel, which is not cruelty-free.
Is that a hair gel?
It's a hair gel, but it's like what a lot of makeup artists use for eyebrows to do like a laminated brow because I have really thick eyebrows. So it's the only thing that works for me. No waxes, no gels have ever worked and held them in place for me. So if I have my whole kit and that's the only one thing that's in there, I think that that's a success. That's better than just throwing up my hands.
Absolutely.
Let's not even bother. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, and the reality is just because you haven't found a replacement now doesn't mean you're not going to in 6 months or a year from now.
Or that the brand may become cruelty-free. So
that's true as well.
So let's talk about kind of like qualifiers. If there's like an easy way, like a checklist that maybe you follow that you know things are cruelty-free, maybe like Leaping Bunny and like, you know, the PETA certifications. Like when you get down to that, like what are the ones that like we actually need to be looking for and what are the legit ones? Because some are not.
This is true. So I would say the highest standard, the one that if you see it on the bottle, if you see that they're certified by, you don't have to ask any more questions, is the Leaping Bunny certification. They are part of CCF, Cruelty Free International, CFI, and they are really the gold standard. I mean, they don't just ensure that a brand is not testing, you know, final product. They ensure that the brand is not testing at the ingredient level, the supplier level, and they do even more than that. So everything is gone through, and then they could potentially be audited at any time by the Leaping Bunny certification. So it would be very, very difficult for a brand to sneak in any kind of animal testing when it comes to them. PETA, on the other hand, might as well not exist. I mean, it's good for nothing.
That's good to know. So what about PETA? They just don't like do the thorough like research
the vetting.
What would be like something that would make a brand not cruelty-free that maybe like a lack of research would show?
So basically with PETA, it's just like fill out a form, say yes or no, and send in money. There's no vetting. There's looking through suppliers, ingredients, you know, it's not a lengthy process. Mm-hmm. Some of the sticking points that the cruelty-free community has had with PETA are brands like Wet n Wild, who, you know, still to this day, I see people who are, you know, cruelty-free, probably newer to the cruelty-free community, posting about Wet n Wild, thinking this brand is cruelty-free when in actuality, they're not, because 3-4 years ago, they moved into mainland China. And at that time, there was still post-market testing happening on all products if there was an issue. So
that's
an example of where PETA just looks the other way. Like, oh, you want to sell in China? It's not a big deal.
Yeah. So I have a question for you. So like, wasn't there something that was just passed about like selling in China and like that they don't have to test on animals? Because I had a lot of people also tell me like, oh, well, now you could use MAC because now they're not testing on animals. And I looked into it and maybe you could tell me, like you're the expert, so you should probably tell me. But like, as far as like I researched, basically that like, even if it were the case, it's going to take a while and that the company has to jump through a lot of hoops in order to make it so. And so it's not just like, oh, now like as of today, it's like, no, they have to like file all this shit with the Chinese government to get exempt. Is that correct, right?
I'm really proud of you. I'm really proud of you because this is something like even, like I said, a lot of people in the cruelty-free community do not yet understand. Yes. I mean, the laws in China have changed. A lot of people don't want to yet believe this because, you know, for a long time, anything in China is, you know, bad. Is it good news? It's great news overall. However, it's going to take time for us to truly understand everything that's happening. Even for me and some of my friends, we're still really trying to understand what a brand needs. As far as, you know, what I can absolutely tell you is that you will hear people say that there is no longer any post-market testing in China. That is not accurate.
Can you just explain what post-market testing is for people that may not know what it is?
Sure. So post-market testing is basically when you already have a product done, it's been made, it's ready to go on the shelves. So then they put it on the shelf in China and somebody buys it. They take it home and they use it and then they have a reaction to the product. There, they would call the government and say, I had a reaction to this product, blah, 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 happened. What used to happen is they would immediately pull said product from the shelf and it would be tested on an animal.
Okay.
Now, that's not happening as often.
Got it.
How much is it happening? We're not quite sure yet. I can tell you that the biggest issue in China still is the special ingredients. So let's say a brand has sunscreen. If you are selling sunscreen and you're selling in China, it's a problem. Mm-hmm. There's many hoops that you need to go to. So when it comes to makeup or skincare being sold in China, if they have the Leaping Bunny certification, which I don't know if you can see, but it looks like that little bunny right there.
And we'll post it on the highlight reel, guys, when this episode airs. If you look at the highlight reel, if it's the same week, I'll put some of this like resources and I'll put a picture of the Leaping Bunny so you know exactly what we're talking about.
And if it has the Leaping Bunny symbol, they can sell in China. So we have brands that are, as of right now, selling in China that are cruelty-free because they're going through the Leaping Bunny and they have partnered with some organizations in China to make this happen. And it was 4 years in progress. Any brand that's not Leaping Bunny, I would not at this point trust, but I do think that that is going to change.
Yeah. So it's important to like think about all these different factors. And even more so what you were saying about supply chain, is that something that like is vetted by like Leaping Bunny? Is that why it's a little bit more? Because like then otherwise you would have to ask a brand if there's any animal testing at any point in the production chain, correct?
So when I talk to a brand, let's say I'm going to email a brand, and this is something I do all the time to find out if there's any animal testing. There are 12 questions that I ask and I break them up one by one. Because if you ask a brand, do you test on animals? They can say no, but maybe they're still testing their individual ingredients on animals. But if they say no, they might mean when it's all done and ready to go, they don't test on it. Mm-hmm. But they're still not technically lying. So I ask everything from, are your ingredients tested? Is your final product tested? Do your suppliers that you use test?
Mm-hmm.
I even ask if they hire a third party, because a lot of brands will hire a third party that's not affiliated with them to take the product and test it on an animal. And that way, when you ask, are you cruelty-free or do you test on animals? They can say no, and they're not lying, mm-hmm. because they hired a third party to do it for them.
Right, right. And if you guys like, you know, obviously, like, we're not saying like you need to do this. There's like resources out there. One of the blogs that I love to check is Cruelty Free Kitty. And then there's another one, Ethical Elephant. Those mm-hmm. are the two. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about those? Are those like
fantastic?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, really, really great. They both do their work.
And I'll put those in the bio, but like now you are amongst those people. Like I check your, like, I feel like you need like an actual, do you have a blog? It's a lot of work.
I don't. I was actually just talking to my husband about this last night. I think that's probably going to be what I do this year. I think I'm probably, yeah. because I was talking to my husband about it, and I think that I could put on the blog a place for the brands to answer the questions, and that would take away my needing to, because I'll be honest, the emailing the brands these questions, it takes up a lot of my time.
Yeah.
And it's something that people don't realize as a content creator. You know, I don't have an assistant. I don't have a boss. I don't have a right-hand man. You know, I do all the filming. I do all the editing. I do all the text. Mm-hmm. I do all the captions. I do all the posting. I do all the Instagram stories. But I also do all this emailing and confirming. And it's a lot of work. So if, even though creating the website, if anybody knows how to create a website, hit me up. I'll feature you on my page.
There you go. Yeah, no, there's definitely people that love to do websites. So biddies, hit Jen up.
Hit me up, because that is something I'm thinking. I do have a friend. I want to shout her out. Her name is Grace. Right now, her name on Instagram is Honest B by G, but I know she's going to be changing her name soon. She's been cruelty-free for 8 years.
Okay.
And she helps me so much with, you know, understanding the laws and the rules. She can go into even more detail than I can, because she's just been doing it longer. She knows when it comes to brands, you know, parent companies, which what that means is sometimes you have a brand that's cruelty-free, like this Fenty is cruelty-free, but they're owned by LVMH, who owns Sephora. So the brand that owns them is not cruelty-free. And there is a huge part of the community that doesn't want to support brands like this.
Yeah, my next question was going to be about parent companies like Estee Lauder. And like, you know, we got all these, you know, isn't Urban Decay owned by Estee Lauder now? Or are they owned by?
I think so.
Yeah, like, so it's like, even like the OG, like, you know, they're, so in your opinion, like you still use stuff that's owned by parent companies that aren't cruelty-free, right?
Correct.
And what would you say as far as like, what is your reasoning for that?
So I think this is when we get into really individual decisions.
Right.
And I think it's very, very important not to judge. The reason why I've definitely considered taking out the parent company brands and going vegan, and I'll tell you why I have not. There's a large portion of people who want to be cruelty-free, but can't afford this type of stuff. You know, when you get into vegan and brands that don't have parent companies, a lot of times you're getting into the more high-end expensive makeup.
Right.
And it's just not affordable, nor is it accessible for people. Mm-hmm. And I really believe that everyone should be able to buy makeup that's cruelty-free no matter what. If you then decide for you, I want to take this a step further. I don't want to support Estee Lauder, L'Oreal. That's fine for your decision. You can afford that. That's great. I'm 100% beside you. But I don't think we should turn around and point at people that aren't making enough money to buy Kosas and Zooey and all these other brands. It's just, it's not okay. And furthermore, my other opinion, if you want to hear it.
I love this. No, please give.
Okay. This is my other opinion, is that if everyone is cruelty-free, stopped supporting brands who had a parent company, effectively our voice would be lost. Because when I put my money into this product, what I am doing is I am telling Estee Lauder, I want you to support more brands that don't test on animals. This is what I care about. Mm-hmm. I don't care about the other brands that you have. I'm putting my money here. Mm-hmm. And I want to dump the most money I have into that brand underneath Estee Lauder that is cruelty-free. Because if we do that, we're going to start to show brands what we care about with our dollar. It's the only way we can ever make brands know what we care about. Mm-hmm. And so if you think about, okay, everyone that's cruelty-free stopped the effect that that would have, it could essentially kill cruelty-free.
Yes.
If these large, large brands, because these large brands are the ones that made the laws in China change.
Yeah, I love that. No, that makes like total sense. And this, again, Biddy, is like, this is another reason that, you know, you can take the steps to be cruelty-free and it doesn't have to be like a complete overhaul. You don't have to like restrict everything right away because it is hard. It is hard with, you know, like indie brands versus, and especially like indie brands versus like bigger corporations. It sucks that MAC's not cruelty-free because like MAC was like the very first like makeup that I stocked my kit with. So I feel like that's like most of the stuff that I'm trying to like filter out. But like, honestly, nowadays it's like, there's just so much out there at this point that like, it's kind of a no-brainer. And if you really want to make a difference and become more ethical as a makeup artist, definitely strongly consider it. I mean, I don't fucking judge anybody either, but like, I think it's important for me to like I said, like if I'm not eating animals, why am I like, why am I like using things that like hurt animals? And we love animals here. We're big animal lovers at Lipstick Biddies.
And, you know, we don't need MAC because MAC is not actually the original people who started MAC anyway. MAC got bought.
Uh-huh. That's true. And actually, one of the original founders of MAC is cruelty-free, started Ma Beauty, right?
Yeah. Not only is he the original founder, he created the original formulas.
Right. Okay, so let's talk into some product favorites so that like Biddies, you have a little bit to go off of maybe when you're now looking to change your kit over and some products that like you may not even know about. So I just mentioned Mob Beauty. I was introduced to them at the makeup show and actually met Victor. He was really cool. So Mob Beauty, like what are your like top like three cruelty-free like makeup brands right now?
Yeah, Mob would definitely be one of the top three.
Yeah.
And their bronzers and highlighters are not to be missed. They actually have a bronzer that has a little pink in it, which can be really hard to find. Mm-hmm. Phenomenal. Top three. I mean, Jouer is definitely a top. I mean, they not only can they do no wrong, but their launches this year already have been incredible. They put out a radiant finishing powder. And if you're someone who doesn't want to buy it from Hourglass anymore, or let's say Hourglass is out of your price range, mm-hmm. You need to check out that powder because it's unbelievable. And I think makeup artists will love it on set. Mm-hmm.
I always see Jouer everywhere and like you're selling me on it now. I've never tried it. I've never experienced it, but like now I'm going to have to try it.
That powder, I highly, highly, highly recommend. It is beautiful.
And Mob, when I was at the show, not only is Mob like cruelty-free, they're also like pretty sustainable and they have like sustainable packaging, eco-friendly packaging. They have the mascaras that come with the cartridges so you can like refill your cartridge instead of buying like whole new mascara. They have magnetic pans. So like they're easy for like makeup artists if you like want to depot them. And that's why, you know, when you go to the makeup show, you're seeing more pro-focused brands. Like that's why Mob Beauty would be at the makeup show. By the way, everything that we're mentioning, like of note, Biddies, is going to be in the show notes and the highlight reel if you're listening to this the week that it airs. So make sure to check that out for the resources that we're talking about. So what about skincare? Do you have like a favorite skincare line right now?
I mean, I love Sunday Riley. I love Sunday Riley. They're so good. They are very expensive.
Yeah.
I mean, I do think, you know, affordability-wise, e.l.f. is doing incredible. I really think e.l.f. 2 years ago compared to e.l.f. now, mm-hmm. it's like a completely different brand. It really is.
You want to talk about dupes. Like e.l.f. is like the queen of dupes.
Well, I don't know about that. I think
Buddy Primer.
NYX and Revolution has them beat a little bit. But yeah. But e.l.f., I do want to mention, because e.l.f. actually bought the brand Well People, which is a clean and cruelty-free brand. And so e.l.f. has now become a cruelty-free parent company.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Incredible. And not only that, but they've taken what they've learned about the brand Well People as far as their ingredients, their sustainability, all of that, and they've put it into e.l.f. So when you're seeing their packaging now, you're not seeing like a ton of packaging. It's just one of those plastic. All that is from their purchase at Well People. And if you guys ever want to know how sometimes I get these little tidbits that nobody else has, my history of being in finance gives me a little bit of a leg up, because I know to listen to brands' earnings calls on it once in a while. So when a brand is public and they have a stock, they have to publicly announce their earnings calls. And a lot of times they will talk about what they've launched in the past, what they're going to launch in the future, what went well, what didn't go well. So you might want to start looking for these brands' earnings calls.
Cool. Yeah. I've never done that. That's like, that's an interesting thing to look at for sure.
They're a little boring. I'm not gonna lie.
But it seems like something like if you're into it, like it would be like really like nerdy and interesting and like a total rabbit hole, especially if you're listening to like podcasts and shit, like I'm used to people just like talking.
Yeah.
I want to go back to one part like that we were talking about, because I know we talked about so much cruelty-free. We talked about all, you know, content creating and everything. And you kind of mentioned like you're the only person that's doing all this. And I'm like the only person that's doing all lipstick bitty stuff. And you push out so much content. Like you are like a workhorse. Do you batch content or do you do it every day?
Do I do it every day? What would be the honest answer?
Do you film yourself every day?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
No, let me tell you what, if you people, content creators, I want you to hear me now, especially even if you've been a makeup artist for a long time and you just started content creating, I really want you to hear me. If you film every single day yourself or product, you will burn out quickly, which is also the reason I tell new content creators, don't take every PR that's emailed to you. The more of this you do, the quicker you will burn out. And what we want you to do is last over the long run. You see, when you start, you see a ton of people start at the same time. Watch a year later who is still lasting and why. And it's because of these things that we learn to set up for ourselves. Because I started on Instagram and I got so little PR in the beginning, you know, I learned how to do this stuff. So some days are exclusively, there's a good light that day, so I'm just going to do swatches, and then I will film blank clips so that when the next time I do makeup, I'm going to insert clips in there for that portion that I need. And I'll do like 3 or 4 of those.
You mean when you're doing the editing, right?
Yeah. So I'll do 3 or 4 videos where I'm capturing the swatches, I'm getting the product, I'm doing a little bit of like my magic, whatever. And then I'll save clips that are just blank.
Blank. Yeah.
And then the next day or 2 days later, when I go to do that makeup look, I'm thinking about, okay, I have 4 videos or 3 videos that I need this makeup look to encompass. Like I have a video of a blush and I need to apply that blush in those clips. And then I have another video where I need to use certain brushes and I need to be aware of like what I'm going to film so I can make sure that I get it all done. And then just film those clips.
Yes.
Right. But and
you're doing that all in the TikTok app, right?
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. That's what I do too.
In the TikTok app. I think TikTok really likes when you film in the app.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when I do get those, have those days where I have the makeup on, I try to do as much as I possibly can.
Yeah. And like biddies, this is what, like, I always tell you guys, like, work smarter, not harder.
Yeah.
Like literally work smarter, not harder. For my patrons, I did an episode all about short form content and TikToks and my tips. And like one of the things that I say in there is, you know, like days that I'm feeling good or looking good, I'll just get on and like tape a couple like viral sounds or like just even like me just sitting there and pointing. And I'm like, I'm going to put in a caption later. That's working smarter, not harder. Not doing my makeup every single day, setting everything up every single day to take one clip. No, like you can make like so much more out of what you have already. And even coming from Instagram, I've told people, go to your story archives. You probably have a lot of content in your story archives, especially if you do get ready with me's, that you could just save and repurpose into a TikTok like really easily.
Especially if you're just starting out.
I think people are just very intimidated to learn a new platform, but I think that like TikTok's the way to go right now. And
I encourage people, if you're new to TikTok, just get on and watch content for a week. Do not start filming, editing. You got to get on there and immerse yourself in it and learn the culture. I see people coming to TikTok and posting and they haven't learned the culture. And let me tell you what, you are going to
fail. It's so true though.
It's so true. Because people can tell. They're like, you don't.
Like people, okay, biddies, please do not. Please never upload an Instagram reel with the Instagram reel watermark to TikTok immediately. No. Immediately no.
The worst. Offense.
Like, you
can do that the opposite.
Yes, that's what I do.
The thing that people don't understand is that people are on TikTok because they left Instagram.
Yep.
And so many people don't understand that. Once you understand that, okay, they're here because they left. So what do I need to do to get the people that left Instagram? Not post Instagram type shit. That's number one. Because if you do that, it does not work. I've seen it fail more than 1,000 times. So if you learn the culture, watch the trends, see what people, how do they film? What are the techniques? What are the transitions? What are they talking
about? That's how I learned.
Right. And then you immerse yourself and then you can take your style and what you care about and start to fit it into the culture.
Well, now I'm going to ask you two very personal questions. Okay. First question is, what is your average screen time for TikTok?
Oh.
I want an honest answer. I watch TikTok for like hours. I'll give you mine too.
I think it's
like, give me your average week from last week or whatever it is.
How do I find that on my phone?
So you go into settings and then there should just be a tab that says screen time.
This is going to be bad. I'm just telling you right now.
And then you hit all activity, toggle to week. And then, so my week, and then I'm going to scroll over to last week.
Let's see. Wait, how do you tell? Oh, week. Okay.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, boy. That can't be right. That cannot be right.
You have to pop it open, though, and then it says the daily average. If it's like 18 hours or whatever, like mine says.
Oh, I see. Okay. I panicked there for a second. I was not going to be admitting that time. Okay. Now I'm going to tell you this, but I'm going to tell you this is down. I've gotten, this used to be much worse.
Okay.
5 hours.
Just on TikTok?
Yeah.
Okay. Daily average from last week is 2.5 hours. And I think that's down. But like, yeah, you guys got to spend at least like an hour, but also you're doing all the editing in TikTok. Yeah, when I'm making a lot of content, you're on there for like an hour or two just doing your content, not actually scrolling. Okay. Second very personal question is, what is on your For You page? What does your For You page look like?
Why didn't I answer correctly when you said, is there anything I can't ask you? Okay. There's a lot of makeup. First of all, there's a ton of makeup.
Okay.
A ton. But there's also a lot of therapy. The majority of the content on my For You page is like therapists, psychologists, healing journeys, growth. Okay.
That's great.
Like
that's
probably great. 50-50 with makeup.
Okay.
Every once in a while, I'll get like a rant. I like some of the rants, obviously. And then I do get some of the like tarot card people.
Ooh, I love those that like show up and it's like, this is for you. And you're like, oh my God.
Okay. This is definitely for me. And then they say one thing and it's like, oh God, yes, this is for me. Yep.
I want to start making like spoof ones of that. I need to make like one of the videos that I want to make is like a spoof off the Dyson air wrap because I can't afford that shit. And like, keep seeing videos about the Dyson hair wrap. Have they sent you one yet? They should.
No. I need to find out if they're cruelty-free. I'm working on it.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
See, to your audience, this is one thing you don't realize. You will actually save money being cruelty-free. because you'll be forced to think really hard about every purchase.
That's really funny. Yeah, that's really funny. Like I actually do get some therapy because like I have like, you know, bipolar, ADHD, like all these things on there. But I also get a lot of farm content, like people like with their goats and like people like growing like massive zucchini. Like
really?
Yes.
I don't see that.
It is the best. Oh, it is the best place to be when I like really want to like soothe myself. Like, wow, look at those tomatoes. They're huge this year.
Probably because I live in front of a farm is why I'm not interested in that kind of content.
But like, if you really want to know what someone's like, if you really want to know what someone's like, if you're dating someone, have them pop open TikTok, scroll through their first 5 videos and it'll tell you everything you need to know about that person. Well, I guess not me. I don't have a farm, but.
You know what? You know who has taken over my For You page is Drew.
Yes!
Drew.
I love her.
She's like, hey.
Oh my God, Drew Afwalo. If you haven't
Love her.
She's like a person who just goes on these rants like about like misogynists that like make terrible content about women being fat and shit. And it's like,
and she tears them apart in the funniest ways. She always like refers to them as like some cartoon character.
Yes.
And they look exactly like it every time.
I've been watching her too, like before she even got like a million followers, and she's almost 5. Like she's like 5. She just hit 5 million followers. Yep. But like I've been watching her like before she even hit a million. Like I was like, this is the best person. Oh man, that is someone that should be on the podcast. She's like a good look. She would talk about makeup and shit.
Yeah. If you could get her, that
one day. One day. So, Jen, I think we're running up on our time. This has been like a really enjoyable conversation. We talked about so much. Thank you for giving all of your expertise. Of course, before we go, I want to ask you a quick would you rather question because we'd love to give a would you rather. And this one's kind of hard. Would you rather skip your morning skincare routine for a week or not wear makeup for a week?
Not wear makeup for a week.
Yeah, that's probably me too. Sometimes I even do that, just give myself like a break.
If I were in my 20s, I may have chosen the makeup, but I'm in my 40s. I'm going to choose the skincare.
Right, because we need that. Like, as soon as you hit 30. One more question. Like, what is, like, one of your holy grail, like, skincare products? Because you do look so young and, like.
Oh, thank you. I would say either Bakuchiol or Retinol. I think they're both phenomenal. It depends on if you're plant-based or not. I like Bakuchiol because you can use it in the morning and at night.
You heard it here first.
Okay. Get you some Bakuchiol.
Yes. Okay. I'm going to have to look into that as soon as I get off this.
Keylist sells a good one and it's very affordable and they're cruelty free.
Awesome. So Jen, thank you again so much for being here. Before we go, would you be able to give everybody who's listening maybe any like nuggets of wisdom, advice, whether it's about cruelty free cosmetics or content creating before we sign off, and then let us know where we can find you on social media?
Yeah, I think, you know, in regards to both, I think it's always just important, especially when you're creating content, to be true to yourself and true about what's important to you. I think, you know, in going cruelty free, really think about like, what do I want out of this? What am I looking for? Am I doing this just because it's popular? Am I doing this because it's important to me? I don't, you know, try to convince everyone to go cruelty-free. I don't think it's necessarily for everyone. Would I love everyone to be cruelty-free? Yes. But, you know, I think make the decision that's right for you, because I said at the beginning, it's more about doing this for the long term. So if you're just thinking about it because everyone else around you is cruelty-free and you feel kind of like you have to, you know, maybe consider that. You know, I think as women in society on social media, it's very easy to be very influenced by everything. And I think it's more important to really think about who am I? What do I want? What do I like? What am I interested in? And dig into that, because that is where your authenticity lies. And when you dig into what your true passions are, that's when you will get educated and people interested and attracted, because that is true passion. What you actually care about and what you're educated about come together is authentic passion. And that's what draws people. It's not going to draw everyone, but it draws the right people.
I love that. And where can everybody find you on social media?
You can find me on TikTok at Cruelty Free Makeup. And you can find me on Instagram, same Cruelty Free Makeup, but I have two A's in makeup.
Awesome. All right. Thanks again, Jen. And we will talk to everybody next week.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Lipstick Bitties podcast. To receive a special surprise from the head bitty in charge in the mail, make sure to drop a review in the app and DM your screenshot to me at Lipstick Bitties. Remember, you are a badass fucking bitty. See you next week.